Hello and welcome back to Fan Affliction. I'm Aisha and this is
Jojo.
And we are two fans afflicted first by their love of Jermaine and now for their love of Zutara.
Woo!
Woo! From the world of The Last Airbender, or as I like to say, the Avatar, because the Avatar, the franchise, the blue people kind of killed that name a little bit for
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I forget that that's a thing.
Yeah, it's. I remember when people first started getting confused with it, and I was like, no, it's really annoying. But it's all good. It's fine.
I remember going to see it in the cinema, the Avatar, and being like, wow, this is really cool. But then also, like Avatar 2, where's that? It's been like 10 years. Come on.
Isn't it supposed to be coming out soon, though?
It was meant to be this year, no?
Is it?
Let me look it up. That's the thing, they've lost interest. Like, who cares now? Because when it came out, it was like a feat of cinematography and cinema skills. And
but also, hadn't he waited like 25 years to actually make it? Like, he'd had the idea and he wanted to wait until the technology existed to like execute it as he envisioned it. Big build-up. Whereas now it's just like, well, we can do a lot with computers. So how are you going to top it?
Okay, so it's out next year, my bad. It's got Kate Winslet in it, this one.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
Anyway, yeah, hello.
Sorry. We've already had like a half an hour chat this morning.
Oh my god,
we just can't get enough.
And we saw each other this week as well, so we should be out of conversation, really.
I'm a JoJo addict. What can I say
who isn't?
We had some great pumpkin gnocchi, if anyone was wondering.
We had a lovely time. We went out for a nice dinner and we chatted about the podcast and stuff, but we had amazing pumpkin. It was so good.
So, so good. Like, genuinely, probably the best gnocchi I've had out. I really enjoyed it.
You don't get gnocchi much out in restaurants, I find, which is a shame.
No, and or like at least not gnocchi that like we can eat. It tends to be not super vegan friendly.
Yeah, there's always some kind of meat and stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this was lovely and vegan and delicious. So I'm
so
still
good.
Riding that high, and I want to keep it because I'm very tired today. So I want to be feeling, I want that gnocchi to come back and energize me. That sounded really stupid.
No, it didn't. It was good. And we also still, I mean, I'm definitely still riding off the high of our email. Hello, C, if you're listening.
Yes.
If you're all good.
They're going to be like, stop fucking talking about it, Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm really excited. So yeah, I hope you like Zutara as much as you like Jermaine. And also, please send us the scavengers. I'm gagging for it now.
Please,
honestly.
I know. We were actually, funny enough, we were talking before we started recording about books and kind of our interest in them. And I was saying how it's been a long time since I've had a physical book that I've been super excited to read. The only time that's been happening recently is with like fanfic. In like the past year, there'll be a book like, basically any of the big classics, big Jermaine classics, like Right Things to Do, The Auction, obviously Manacle, those kind of things. So I'm like, I want something to excite me.
We've already said this, but like I do genuinely think that Draco is probably the best. He's just got the best enemies to lovers vibes out there. And like I, you know, in line with the world of book talk, I feel like I've read like a lot of physical enemies to lovers books. But I am reaching my point with them. They just seem to like taper off a bit, or they all seem to get a little bit samey.
Well, the thing is, I think we've read the best ones.
This is the thing. This
we've
is
read
the
best English ones. I'm sure there's some out there from like other, you know, in other languages that are just probably amazing. We're missing out because we can't read because we're boring and basic. But honestly, I do think we've probably just gone through the ones that are like easy to find.
It's so true. And then like also with books now, I don't know if you like Emily Duncan and her anti-Semitism bullying of other authors industry.
I've not heard about this.
So she's got this series called Wicked Saints, and it's essentially based on like a war with fantasy Russia and fantasy Poland. It's essentially what I've gathered. And I did actually order it a while ago. But when it came, I sent it back because I heard about all this stuff that she's been doing and I didn't really want to support that kind of author. But people are saying that it had very anti-Semitic undertones. Talking about fantasy war between Russia and Poland is iffy, I suppose. And I think that she probably didn't do enough research by the sounds of it, or was a little bit tone deaf.
Yeah.
But also, Hafsa Faisal, who wrote We Hunt the Flame, and then she's written a lot of things, but We Hunt the Flame is the big one. And she apparently bullied her in the industry, you know, stealing her genre and rah rah rah. And there's a group of authors actually who have been pretty horrible. So I've decided not to own their stuff, which definitely limits. I mean, I say that I've probably just not done my research, but a book that I am excited to read that is coming to me in a month, which is kind of long, but I'm trying not to use Amazon. It's called Witches Steeped in Gold. Oh. And that's a new age fantasy, and it's apparently phenomenal. So if that's good, I'm going to give it to Jojo, and then we'll both be ignited. Because if anyone out there has been reading Crown of Gilded Bones, I hope that you're not enjoying it as much as I am, because it's just
rip into them.
From Blood and Ash was okay towards the second half. I really enjoyed it. A Kingdom of Flesh and Fire I loved all the way through, but Crown of Gilded Bones is not the vibes for me. It's essentially JoJo. It's enemies to lovers. There's been this big reveal, but in this book now they're so sweet. They've lost all of their banter. It's so romantic. The love interest, Castile or Hawk, he's really just become really boring. I don't know. It's really bugging me, and I hope it gets better, but apparently it doesn't. So if anyone's out there, let me know, or let us know. Give us things to read, please.
So we're hoping that Zutara, that Summer of Distractions by Gimme Zutara, will fill that void for a bit. And this week, I'm happy because Aisha is going to read this week. So I'm looking forward to this. This might be the time when the smut starts. It would be excellent timing. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Please. No. See how we're going to get to smut.
It seems like quite a simple romance so far, which is not a bad thing, but quite gentle. But hey, things develop. This is not your My Heart Burns for You, where basically in the first chapter they're Izuka's damn, I want that.
She fine.
Oh, agony. Oh, agony, she flies.
That's what we should get tattooed.
No. Oh, my God. That's taking our affliction too far, I think.
Imagine if I got that on the inside of my lip. I would do that for bands. Oh, agony.
Right, I think it's time to stop being friends with Aisha. Aisha who?
Oh, so good, though. Wait, would you mind just giving us a little summary, JoJo, of what's happened today? Just because I've actually had the longest week and I can't remember where we left off.
So Katara was obviously in her home, Southern Water Tribe. Mm-hmm. And basically not much was going on. And because she was seeing Suki and Sokka get married, she was like, I don't really know my place. I'm not quite sure what my job is, what my role is. Zuko and Iroh were at the wedding and they were like, hey, come work as an ambassador, for the Southern Water Tribe, but, in the Fire Nation. She was like, hell yeah. So she went. And then they had a meeting, and basically Zuko and Katara just being super friendly. Katara found out that it was Zuko's idea to get her as the ambassador. Obviously really sweet. They started reading together and spending more time together.
And don't we just love a library scene or two?
There was quite a lot of it. There's quite detailed library scenes in this. And I think at the end of the last chapter, because they're quite short chapters, so we're doing them in duos. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a little bit of romance, and he was just kind of like, oh, I like having you here.
Mm-hmm. Question, May, where's she at?
Yeah, well, she's not in the tags, is she? So she might not even be in. Well, because Zuko in the first chapter said she left. That was pretty much it.
Where, May? So perhaps she'll come back with Aang with a vengeance.
That'd be a weird pairing.
That's actually one that I've never read.
No, and I think it's a good reason.
It's a bit. Guys, wait till the end of this season. JoJo and I will write them again. Yeah. I'll do May and Aang. I can make that one.
All right, it's on you. It's on you. There you go. You've said it now. You can't go back. I've got it on tape.
Yeah, we've also got on tape that once we hit a million reads, I can't fucking remember what we promised now.
Wow. That's good, Aisha. Well done.
I just remember.
Cut that, like, Jojo. God,
no. Oh, I've made too many promises on this podcast.
We have. But right,
good thing
so...
that no one will hold us to account. Maybe.
That's a good thing about keeping our identity semi-secret.
Semi-secret. It's true. It's true.
To be fair, our names might not even be Jojo and Aisha.
No. No one knows actually that. Don't know.
They're just silly names. Silly, silly names we made up.
Yeah, it's true, Katrina. Let's get reading.
Right, you get reading. It's your job this week.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, I'm going to give it my best go, guys. So don't
lose your
come
nerves.
For me. Yeah. Matt also
oh
High School
God,
Musical.
You're going to do this every day. Every week.
High School Musical, the musical, the series season 2 has come out. I haven't watched it, but I'm
Have
aware
watched,
that it's on
did
Disney.
Did you watch the first one?
No. Did you? Good.
I was about to tell you to leave because I was no. Like people, like listen. I love High School Musical. In fact, next weekend when I visit my partner, we're going to watch High School Musical 3. It's like planned.
I thought you were going to be like, we're going to like act it out, and I was like,
oh. What? Why would you do
I
that?
I don't know.
No, we're just gonna watch it because he hasn't properly seen it. And I'm very excited. So I thought you were going to have some more interesting High School Musical news rather than that bloody cash grab remake. Get out of here.
I know, but then, okay, so this, I'm so sorry, guys. I will get to reading the story really soon. that instead of doing, because obviously in the first series, I didn't watch it fully, but I did see bits and pieces, that in the second one, instead of remaking High School Musical 2 for their musical, yeah, they're doing Beauty and the Beast.
What? Fuck off. Why?
Which is like so
that's not
well,
High
I guess I know, but I guess it's because if they did a season for remaking each of the movies, they'd be done
just
in three seasons.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, so yeah, I they guess they're trying out. To Yeah, but I can't picture, or maybe they'll make it a High School Musical Beauty and the Beast. Feels like something that you could find on fanfiction.net. Remember when I found a High School Musical Harry Potter crossover? What a time.
Yeah, and Fangasm, the other, you know, the podcast we listened to, read the Harry Potter, they read the Drarry Beauty and the Beast, which we just thought was not good.
No, sorry, guys.
Not the podcast, but just the story.
No, but okay, the story was not wizarding at all. It was essentially just Beauty and the Beast, and they control F'd and replaced the names of Belle with, like, Draco and Harry.
Yeah, I have that problem with other stories with fanfic, which is also so stupid because it's, like, fanfic is such... like a fun thing to do, like it doesn't really have limits, so like go crazy, but my personal perspective is just like, don't just copy F and put different names in, come on, like where's the creativity?
It's so true. I think that the thing is too, that premise could have actually been really interesting.
Oh yeah, for sure. But then why did they have bloody Robert Pattinson as Gaston? Come
I
on,
know
dead.
I know. Also, just like Cedric Diggory, or at least maybe this is just a me thing, I never understood his the whole thing. He's barely, I mean, he's in Goblet of Fire, but let's be real, he's barely relevant.
He's quite a big part of Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, but past the Triwizard Tournament, I mean, obviously because he's dead, he's kind of irrelevant. But also, when I this is just me and my controversial opinion, I don't think he's the prettiest person in that series.
Who's the prettiest person in that series?
To me personally,
yeah.
Oh man,
God, who's gonna be fucking someone rogue?
No, it's not. It's Alfred Enoch Dean.
Oh, okay. No one. Yeah, okay, whatever.
He is beautiful. He is beautiful. He's beautiful.
Okay. And on that controversial note, I think
Robert Pattinson's so overrated, bro.
He's good looking.
See, mathematically,
he's going to be
apparently,
amazing Batman.
Yeah, he will be. But apparently, like, him and Henry Cavill have the most symmetrical faces in Hollywood.
They are.
Like,
yeah,
aesthetically,
both...
they fit
Henry
the golden
Cavill's
ratio.
So gorgeous.
Henry Cavill, yeah. Robert Pattinson's not for me, personally.
Well, hey, to each their own. That's absolutely fine.
Team Jacob. Woo!
Right, so shall we get into this, the next chapter?
Yep, I'm ready. Okay, chapter 3. It had been a long meeting that afternoon, and Katara enjoyed working with Zuko. She'd forgotten how similar they were in many ways, and she found that they would often share a look within meetings, conveying shared emotions on a particular subject without having to say anything. She followed Zuko to his office to get him to sign off some proposals for a trade route down to the Southern Water Tribe, complaining loudly as she went about how unnecessarily long the meeting was. I mean, really, who's that Fire Nation advisor, the one who sits 3 down from me and across the table? Advisor Shun, Zuko responded, his eyebrows raising in amusement. That guy, Tweet, he keeps just piping up with completely irrelevant information. We get it, you love the sound of your own voice, but I'm sick of hearing it and I've got stuff to do.
Okay, sorry, she sounds like both of us. Anytime that we're annoyed with someone, especially you after the week you've had. This is
that
basically
was
the conversation that we just had before the podcast. And it's... that won't mean anything to anyone but us.
It's Hermione Granger too, though.
Yeah, like, true.
This could be... See, Zutara equals Hermione. Dramini.
There's something there. Do you think there's, like, an essay out there comparing the two?
That would be so interesting. I do... Okay, I'm so sorry. This is a tangent again.
Oh, God, here we go.
Did you know that the first One Direction fanfics were actually... So, One Direction's PR company paid fans to write them. Yeah.
You are joking.
No, I saw that this morning.
Oh my God.
And, because they wanted to kind of drum up a bit of hysteria, and apparently it's obviously just gotten a bit out of control.
Well,
but I thought that was so
fault,
funny.
That's
I was like,
so funny that they paid for this, and then now
so
Harry Styles
smart.
Has now he has a restraining order against someone who wrote the biggest like fanfic of him.
Yeah.
That's insane. That is a good idea.
But there's a girl who has written an essay on it. I saw it on TikTok.
Oh, I need to read that.
I'll find it. But yeah, I just thought it was so funny. I was like, wow. Also, PR people are so smart. Because imagine coming up with that as a way to do it.
They really know the way young teens work to make up that idea.
It's so true. It's madness. Zuko laughed out loud. He loved it when Katara went off on rants about things. He too often felt frustrated, but that was normally squashed down with a massive sense of guilt. Katara's ranting gave him much-needed perspective on his own frustrations, justifying them as normal and pulling him out of himself when he got too introspective. She smiled back at him. She loved to hear him laugh. It hadn't been something she'd been very lucky to hear often during the war, but for some reason, he seemed to find her very funny now. No one else found her very funny, so she was always very ecstatic when he laughed at her rants.
Aww.
Yeah. Maybe she's not very funny, though.
Well, in the show, that's kind of a thing, isn't it? Because, like, there's that episode where she puts Momo on her head to be like, let's see, I'm fun!
Yeah.
And everyone's like, shut up, Katara. So she kind of does have that. Bless her, which I hate that, because I was also tarred with that when
me
I was younger.
Too.
And I was a bit, like, just more... like, don't get me wrong, I'm fun and hilarious and so funny.
She's
and,
very funny. You know, JoJo's funny.
But I hate that idea of being, like, just considered boring because maybe you're just a bit more focused or caring or something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, you guys, I'm not holding a grudge about this or anything, but I'm just like, just be kind, all right? Like,
yeah, give people a break. Momo on a head is funny. Very, very
it's
funny.
It's fun.
Okay. They entered his office and Zuko sat behind his desk. Katara plonks down onto the seat in front of his desk, putting her elbows on the mahogany. I really slurred that sentence together.
No, it was all right. That? No, it was
your
fine.
Elbows on the mahogany. Okay. I'll leave that in then, whatever.
Okay.
I just need to make those adjustments on the final document. Shouldn't take too long, he said as he dipped his brush into a pot of ink. Oh, okay, Katara said contentedly, sitting back in her chair and looking around the room. She looked at the chair she was in, admiring the blue silk of the seat and back, embroidered with delicate golden cherry blossoms. I love this chair, she said, half to herself. Mm-hmm. Zuko murmured in response as he concentrated on the document in front of him. Katara looked back up to him and felt her heart catch in her throat. Zuko was biting the end of the brush as he concentrated. Her eyes were instantly drawn to his mouth. He tapped the brush lightly against his lower lip, the end making a slight tapping sound against his teeth. He bit down lightly on the end and she stared as his tongue stroked the section that was in his mouth. He twirled his tongue around it and she felt her insides melt. She mentally whimpered slightly.
Oh, Jesus.
I know, get wrecked, Zuko.
Okay, here you go. Have you ever had a scenario where you've watched a person you're attracted to put something in their mouth and been like, oh.
Yeah.
Actually. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the freak here.
No, no. Oh God, why am I so dirty? like, oh my God, why am I saying this? Like a mango.
A mango. He was eating a mango, but like he wasn't. It wasn't in slices. He was just like he'd taken a section of it, and he was just yeah.
I don't know if it was biting. I don't know. It was probably just me being really pervy. But I was like, okay.
Well, I think we're learning a lot about Asians today, everyone. And, it's very interesting. You really don't know your friends.
Why do I say this shit? This is the kind of stuff that you should just take to your grave, shouldn't you?
I love just teeing you up to this stuff. I feel like I'm constantly just setting you up to fall on your bum when it comes to talking about stuff like this.
Have you seen the Hawaiian guava eating competitions?
No. Aisha, what?
Okay, they were a big thing on TikTok last year, so don't. Get off it's not TikTok! Me. It's not me. Okay, I'm gonna send you a video. It's just so interesting.
Oh my Jesus! We're never gonna get through. This is one of the shortest chapters of anything that we've read. We're never gonna get through it.
We are. We are. I just am dirty, but it's fine. We'll carry on. Zuko being dirty with the paintbrush or not? We don't know. He looked up at her and an irrational part of her brain panicked that he'd heard her mental yearning. What? He asked. The words slightly unclear around the... Oh, I should say that with a pen in my mouth, shouldn't I? Hold this. What?
The Whoa, words slightly... God, that's so effective.
slightly unclear around the end of the brush still in his mouth. Her eyes involuntarily flickered. Fuck me. What the fuck is happening
You need to
now?
Take a breath and regain some composure,
I'm going to have a sip. A sip of my...
I will as well. Sponsored by water.
Maybe we should just start an ASMR podcast. It'd be interesting.
That's a throwback.
Harry and his tea.
Harry and his tea. Again.
What, he asked. The word slightly unclear around the end of his brush still in his mouth. Her eyes involuntarily flickered down to his mouth and back up as he watched her with his golden eyes. She mentally cursed. Nothing, she stammered, attempting to laugh it off, and began inspecting the side of his desk very thoroughly. He narrowed his eyes a little, his smile widening suspiciously, and she really, really tried not to notice how the brush rotated across his mouth slightly at the movement. He took the brush out of his mouth and signed the papers before giving them the Fire Lord stamp of approval. All done, he said, handing the papers over to her. Thanks, she said. She could physically feel the blush in her cheeks as she stood to take the papers from his hand and swiftly made her exit. Once on the other side of the door, she leant against the wall and took a breath to calm herself. Cheery, Katara. Way to play it cool.
Come on, Katara, get it together.
A week later, Katara received a gift from the Fire Lord. She placed the box on her bed and opened it, revealing a beautiful dress in the same material as the chair in his office that she loved. She held it up, admiring it. She smiled widely, suddenly feeling so happy that she thought her heart might burst.
Aww.
She thought back to her meeting to their meeting in his office. She could have sworn he hadn't been listening to her as he concentrated, but he'd remembered.
That is so sweet.
It is. Why his chair blue, though?
Maybe because he likes to be reminded of Katara.
Oh. Katara tossed in her bed. It was past the middle of the night and she still couldn't sleep. The full moon had always made her restless. She gave up and climbed out of bed, opening the large windows to move onto her balcony. She looked out across the palace and the roofs of Caldera City. Many lanterns were still lit across the houses, creating a constellation of warm lights in the darkness. A brightness to her left caught her eye and she leaned over the railing to peer along the wall of the palace. Zuko's office window was still lit. Katara frowned. It was very late, much later than anyone except a restless waterbender should be up. She hesitated for a moment before coming to a decision and heading back to her room. She quickly threw a thin robe over her sleeping clothes and left her room, heading for Zuko's office. Whoa. She knocked hesitantly on the office door.
A thin robe.
Oh, no. There was no reply. She knocked again, a bit louder this time, and still didn't get a response. She gnawed on her bottom lips nervously, but steeled her resolve and knocked again. When she still didn't get a reply, she rolled her eyes and slowly opened the door, peeking into the room. Candle burning brightly on the desk, illuminating the room and the sleeping Fire Lord where his head lay against the mahogany surface. The firelight played across his raven locks and almost hid his face as he breathed softly. Katara smiled gently, a warm feeling of affection spreading through her. She quietly closed the door behind her and stepped a bit closer to peek at his face. He seemed so peaceful in his sleep. She bit her lip to stifle a snicker as she noticed he drooled slightly on the parchment beneath his cheek. He definitely couldn't stay sleeping in the position he was in, slumped over the desk in his chair as he was. "Zuko," she whispered, crouching to be nearer to him. He didn't move. "Fire Lord," she tried a bit louder. He frowned in his sleep, staring slightly, and she slightly giggled to herself. "Sparky," she said. "Huh? What?" That seemed to work. Zuko lifted his head off his desk in confusion, the parchment sticking to his face slightly as he sat up. He rubbed his eyes and blinked the sleep from them.
Okay, I've got a confession. When Toph gives them all, like, nicknames, I think it's a bit annoying.
I think it's supposed to be, though.
I know, but, like, maybe I'm just old and decrepit and I'm just not fun. But, like, when it's, like, if someone was constantly, like, Sparky, Sugar Queen, it's like, oh, I have a name.
Yeah, but your name is quite literally a nickname.
Oh. Excellent point.
Cat.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. That shut me up.
No, I get what you mean, though. I think the thing is, though, like, Sparky's okay. Sugar Queen is long.
It's awful. It's not even a fun thing to say, Sugar Queen. It's three. Her name is... I had to go through a syllable then. Her name is... They're the same amount of syllables. Like, come on.
Sparky's okay. No, do you know what, though? Like, sorry. I love Toph conceptually, but in the show, she definitely gets on your tits a bit. Generally, yeah. I'd say.
She's meant to. She's like an immature kid, so...
Same as Aang, I suppose.
Same as Aang. Perfect together.
Katara? He asked blearily and quickly wiped his cheek as he realised it was still covered in drool. What are you doing here? He said, too groggy from his slumber to suitably be embarrassed. I saw your light was on and figured you'd be up working too late again, she said. Zuko looked around the room dazedly. Ugh. Agni.
Oh no. It's here.
Well, I mean, no one knows what we're talking about either.
It's guys, just from My Heart Burns for You a lot.
You're missing big context though.
He says it a lot.
She says it a lot.
It's like their swear. Kind of, you know, that is their like, oh god. Like, because obviously Agni is like to
but this. But a bit erotic.
But he uses it in an erotic context. So he says it like like the writer wrote that one like all caps is like, oh Agni, it's just like, oh for God's sake.
It's everywhere. Like when it's you everywhere. When on the reread especially, you're like, wow, this is a lot.
Don't get me wrong, I love this fanfic. This is one of 100%. My favorites.
Yeah, but it is funny. You need to get some real sleep, Zuko, Katara said, looking at him with concern on her face. He shook his head slightly. No, I need to get this signed off. He fumbled around the desk, his fingers searching aimlessly. Katara laid a hand on his, stilling his movements. Please rest, Zuko, she said, looking at him earnestly. She resisted the urge to brush his fringe out of his face. His golden eyes met hers for a moment and he relented. Okay, you're right, he said. He stood up and stumbled around his desk. Katara wrapped an arm around his waist instinctively as they walked back to his room. He chuckled at her. I don't need an escort to my room, he said. I'm perfectly capable of getting there myself. Are you saying that you don't want an escort? She asked playfully, helping him along. That's what he said, Katara. Why?
Yeah, okay. Wait, I'm confused. Is she trying to be like you know what, Katara, you're right, you're not funny. That's a joke.
It's so true. You're not funny. That wasn't good. No, Zuko said quietly.
No, I'm sure.
Katara smiled triumphantly. Tired Zuko was far more yielding than wide awake Zuko. Katara left him at his room and yawned widely. It seemed a little excursion had managed to make her sleepy too. She went back to her room and went straight to sleep. Ah. Katara sat at the low table, thinking hard. It was the meeting to discuss ongoing plans for a new trade route between the Fire Nation and the Water Tribes. Around the table sat two ambassadors from the Northern Water Tribe, one in residence, one visiting, and an ambassador from both the northern regions and southern regions of the Earth Kingdom, the Fire Nation, head of international relations, head of trade, and Fire Lord Zuko. I would suggest including a stop to Kyoshi Island along the route to the Southern Water Tribe, Katara said. The ambassador for the southern region of the Earth Kingdom, Ling, looked a bit doubtful. I'm not so sure about that, he said. It's a bit out of the way, isn't it?
Shut up, Ling.
Yeah, piss off, Ling. On the contrary, Katara replied, Kyoshi Island is one of the only islands between the South Pole and the Earth Kingdom, and those waters can be very dangerous. It's best that ships are replenished directly before crossing the strait here to be well prepared should they encounter unfavourable conditions. She pointed at the map spread out in front of them. Kinrook, the Northern Water Tribe ambassador, spoke up. I agree with Master Katara. Kyoshi Island was an important port of call on our trip to our sister nation. Katara smiled at him. Final Zuko, what do you make of this? He asked. Zuko paused as he considered the proposal. Kyoshi Island provided essential aid during the war and after the war. They suffered a great deal at the hands of the Fire Nation, yet were among the first willing to support our efforts to move the world to an era of peace. If Kyoshi Island accepts, I would be more than happy to have a permanent port there along this trade route. Ling nodded in acceptance at the Fire Lord's word.
Ha! Ling! Lose a Ling! That's what I'll call him.
The Southern Water Tribe has a strong bond with Kyoshi Island. I'll see to it that we receive confirmation from them as soon as possible, Katara said. She was very excited about the opportunity to share the news with Suki and her brother. Excellent, said Zuko. A servant entered laden with teapots. Let us take a short break before resuming. As the teapots were refreshed and tea poured, Kinrook moved to sit beside Katara. Oh. Whoa.
Here comes the jealousy tag.
Oh no, so true. How's your brother doing? He said familiarly. Katara had spoke to him a few times he'd visited the Fire Nation and was surprised to find that he lived in the South Pole for a year while she'd been travelling with Aang. During that time, he'd become a good friend of Sokka's. He's doing well now, thanks, Katara responded. Him and Suki have got their own house set up in the South Pole now, although they visit Kyoshi often. It's great to hear, Kinrook responded. It was such a beautiful wedding they had. It really was, wasn't it, enthused Katara. Did you know your brother was freaking out the night before? He was? Katara asked. Sokka had gone off with the men for the evening. Kinrook laughed. Oh yes, he got very drunk and declared that if he was to become a husband, he needed to be stronger, braver, and better to provide for his family. He was halfway across the ice before he realised he intended to go out on a hunt alone in the middle of the night. Katara laughed loudly, laying her head on his forearm as she did so, tears forming in the creases of her eyes. Oh, shit. I was going to say, a head on the forearm would be a lot of laughing. I was mentally thinking that's really bizarre. Okay.
It's quite familiar.
Yeah, Katara laughed. I mean, a hand is too.
Yeah,
this is a side note, but that's what I do. Yeah, but I mean, generally, if somebody tells a joke that's funny, I don't do that unless I'm trying to make a point of being like, I'm touching you.
Well, to be fair, I am one of those people that I am. And you know this. When I talk, if something's like shocking or I'm saying something that I think's like kind of surprising, I will do an arm grab. Like, I'm quite.
Yeah,
like,
that's for people you're familiar with.
Yeah, like, I don't do that with my close friends.
Yeah, like, if it was just someone that you kind of knew, would you be like, hold on?
No, and also I know my friends are comfortable with it. Like, and sometimes I'll apologise. I'll be like, oh, sorry, I shouldn't just touch you. Because then I'm like, oh, it's inappropriate.
Touch you... me, it's so easy to please me.
You know?
All along with my memories of my days in the sun.
Okay, where did that come from?
I don't know.
Okay, but yeah, no, I do think that's quite a familiar move.
Can't wreck Katara. I need to stop.
The elephant in the room. Why do you keep saying that?
I don't know.
I don't think do you know what it, I don't I think don't, it means don't, what you think it means.
I don't know what it exactly means. I've just been saying wrecked all this week because I've been feeling wrecked.
Oh,
but does get wrecked mean like go crazy?
No, if you say get wrecked, it's like get beat up, like get destroyed.
Is it?
Yes. If you're like, oh,
no,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. No, if someone's like playing a game and someone's like, oh, get wrecked, it's like they are destroying them.
Oh, shit. Whenever
you've said that, I'm confused. Oh, no. Oh my God, we're losing our minds.
I don't want to go to work tomorrow.
I think you need a day off. I think you need a week off.
Oh my God, Mum literally said this to me. She was like, I think you should just take a day off and like relaxed. I was like, so I can't. We have things to be doing.
Ugh. You're a very important person.
I'm really not. I'm a worker bee.
She is everybody.
I'm really not. My brain cannot take working full time.
It does.
It's a realization. It does. Also, like most people here get 25 days off like a year generally. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's obviously not including bank holidays and whatever. But I was thinking, if you never took a week off, instead, you could just take a day off every other week for the whole year. And I was like, man, that could be really fun if you always just had a Friday or a Monday off every
other week. True. But then again, you'll never have like a long period of time off then. That's not well, I say Christmas break. Christmas break for most people is not a long period of time. It's like a few days.
Confronting that idea is so terrifying to me. Like, this will be my first Christmas where I actually like have to take holiday.
That's why you go into the career that I'm going into, girl, which I won't say.
But yeah, you but don't it has know, a lot guys. Of holiday. She a pilot.
I'm a pilot. What can I say?
No, she's actually she's starting up an all female Playboy mansion, but yeah. A Playgirl mansion.
I'm gonna be Mrs. Hefner, but not that one. No, Mrs. Her. No, I was gonna say Herner, like a her, but it sounds like hernia. Doesn't work.
I've got feel a lot like of ideas. I have a hernia.
I've got a lot of ideas rattling out around in this old brain.
Hey, we're just the center of all things creative, much like Gimme Zutara, and yet, sorry guys, I'm not sure if I'm vibing with this just yet. No, I'll be honest.
No, me we'll neither. See. We'll see. I think we're both in really funny moods today. I think this is we are not how we are feeling. I feel is not indicative of our usual like usual reading. I don't know what I mean. I think we're both tired and. So this is, everyone listening to this is like, fucking shut up, and like, get on with it.
Feeling a bit loopy, all right? It's been rough. I'm
all right, wrecked. Come on, let's get back to
no
it.
No more getting wrecked, though.
Oh, yeah, let's please. All right.
Across the table, Zuko glanced over at Katara's laughter. Ooh. His eyes instantly zoned in on Katara's hand that rested on Kinrook's forearm. Suddenly, the flames in the sconces flared up, making everyone jump slightly, including Zuko. He hastily picked up a cup of tea, pretending that he hadn't noticed, attempting to calm himself down. Katara turned from her startled look at the sconces to peer at Zuko suspiciously before returning to her conversation with Kinrook. Zuko continued to glare at them over the rim of his teacup. He wasn't quite certain why seeing Katara get more friendly with Kinrook had elicited such a response from himself. Of course they had inside jokes. It's probably a water tribe thing. He sighed. He supposed it was time to resume the meeting. Besides, he would prefer that Kinrook went back and sat in his usual place anyway.
Ooh, jealousy.
Yeah. 1 week, Iroh made a surprise visit, and Katara was very happy to see the old general again and spent a number of evenings being taught the intricate strategies of Paisho. Zuko, being busy as he wasn't often present. Katara had broached this with Iroh. It didn't seem right that Iroh travelled all this way only for Zuko to be too busy to spend time with him, but Iroh brushed it off. Vylord Zuko has many duties to attend to. I'm not offended by him prioritising his responsibilities. Rather, I am very proud of him. I often spring surprise visits upon him. I don't expect him to be able to cater to my schedule. I get the sense that he's doing rather well recently. Maybe it is because he's been blessed with your pleasant company, as I am grateful to be on this occasion, Miss Katara. She smiled, always so charming. Zuko did manage to join for the meal of the fifth day, and as they ate, Iroh began explaining the importance of the White Lotus Gambit. Katara listened keenly while Zuko zoned out of the conversation, having heard the explanation more times than he could count. He watched the others talk, enjoying the casual chatter around him, and took a sip of his tea. He hissed as it burnt his tongue, hastily putting the cup down.
Katara really? A firebender burning his tongue on tea? Come on.
The irony. Or the irony.
Get wrecked, Aisha.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Katara absentmindedly reached out to his cup while continuing to listen to Iroh and froze the top layer of his tea. That didn't fucking help. What?
What? So you can't drink it.
Oh, no, here we go. Zuko watched in amazement as it melted into his cup, lowering the temperature of his drink. Okay. She maybe just made an ice cube.
Okay, maybe we're being a bit presumptuous today.
He looked up to Katara, who apparently hadn't even noticed that she'd done anything as she listened to Iroh, interjecting with questions as he went. Oh. Zuko smiled to himself as he watched her, a warm feeling spreading through his chest. It was such a simple but caring gesture. He wasn't sure if she'd realised that she'd reflected his gesture from a few weeks ago in the library, but the habitual manner in which he'd frozen his drink stirred something deep within him. He found himself wondering how he possibly got on without her around, and didn't want to contemplate her absence from his life again. Eventually, Katara retired to her room, tired from the day's activities, leaving Iroh and Zuko alone. "That was a wonderful trick of Miss Katara's to cool down your drink, nephew," Iroh said, smiling mischievously at Zuko. Zuko was startled. His uncle had been fully involved in the conversation. How could he possibly have noticed that? He composed himself before replying neutrally. Yes, yes it was. It is so good to see how much she cares about you. You know, I really don't think she was aware she did that. Zuko only hummed in response, a sure indicator that he didn't want to discuss it any further. Iroh grinned at him before relenting.
Ooh. Oh. Okay, so, well, there was a smidgen of drama. Smidgen of drama developing from the jealousy. But very cute, very sweet.
Very sweet.
And I will say, I've just clicked on the next
chapter. Me too!
There's a note that has grabbed both of our attentions.
Oh, fuck me!
And it's perfect timing for Aisha.
Not again.
Things are getting a little spicier now.
With the tongue out emoticon.
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that in a long time, have you?
I love it. It's just for anyone who isn't following on with us. It's the colon with a capital P.
Throwback. Love it.
Why am I... Okay, let's see how this works. I'm very interested now because you've actually only got like 3 pages. Okay.
Yeah, it's very short.
Chapter 4. Things are getting a little bit spicier now. Katara breathed deeply, forcing the air out of her nose to calm herself down. With all due respect, Ambassador Ling, the South Pole simply does not have the resources to provide more than a few ships at the moment, but it's essential that trade begins in earnest. If the Earth Kingdom is able to provide a fleet for the journey between the Earth Kingdom and the South Pole, the Earth Kingdom will benefit from the goods that the Southern Water Tribe can offer far quicker than if we wait for the fleet to be built by the Southern Water Tribe. Master Katara, Ling said testily, the Southern Water Tribe has received plenty of charity from the Northern Water Tribe already, along with generous reparations from the Fire Nation. We cannot comply to this request. Katara's eyes flared at the blatant disrespect to the aid her tribe had received after being almost wiped out by the Fire Nation. But the request is to aid your people, not just aid the Southern Water Tribe. No one makes clothes for the colder climates like the Water Tribes, and there are plenty of southern regions in the Earth Kingdom that would benefit greatly from this trade, not to mention the growing popularity of seal jerky that can't be found anywhere else in the world. These industries are increasing in demand within your own kingdom. Are you willing to deny your people the chance to successfully grow their own businesses and boost their economy as soon as possible? We're not willing to budge on the number of ships already stated. The rest will have to be supplied by the Southern Water Tribe. Katara turned her glare to Kinrook. Can the Northern Water Tribe offer any of their shipbuilders to assist the Southern Water Tribe? You know we're a proud tribe, and we wouldn't ask for it unless it was necessary, but we simply don't have enough people with the skills required for this task yet. I'm sorry, Katara. All of our shipbuilders will be necessary for the Northern Fleet. Katara bit back the retort on the tip of her tongue about the Southern Fleet being all but destroyed during the war, while the Northern Tribe stayed in isolation until the last moment, since she really didn't want to start a civil war. Zuko watched the tension at the table grow and could sense Katara's frustration mounting. I motion we adjourn this meeting and continue the discussion at our next allotted time, he spoke, calmly but decisively, which is not the way that Aisha read it. I suggest everyone review their resources and impact upon their nations should the completion of the Southern Water Trade route be delayed. He rose from his seat again, a sign that the meeting was over. Katara stood up quickly, gathered her papers and left the room with a stormy expression on her face. Ooh, things are getting spicy.
Ooh, drama!
Zuko found her in the training area, viciously blasting a stone block successively with water. With a particularly forceful blow, she cracked a large section of the rock from the side, which tumbled to the ground, shifted there panting, sweat pouring off her. I guess we need some more stone blocks around here then, Zuko said. Katara turned around. Zuko had removed his tunic to reveal his loose training clothes. Hi, I didn't see you there, she said. You okay? He asked. Just fine, she said through clenched teeth, turning back to give the pillar another soaking. She stopped and turned to look at him. Sorry if I let my temper get the better of me in there, she said. Zuko snorted. You definitely don't ever have to apologise about that around me. It's refreshing to see someone else get worked up for once, he joked. She offered a quick smile before her face fell again. I just don't know how we can make it work. The Southern Fleet was completely obliterated only a few years ago, and it's not like we have an abundance of usable wood or bones or anything really in the South. It takes a long time for things to be gathered, and even longer for them to get built. And we're still short on so many skills, shipbuilding being a primary one that we seem to be lacking. I could offer ships from the Fire Nation fleet, Zuko began, but he was cut off by Katara. No, Zuko, you've offered more than enough to my tribe, and I see every day how much you're dealing with the fallout from of the war within the Fire Nation. Plus, it would seem like you're favouring the South, and I can't add to that. I can't add that political problem to your plate. Zuko remained quiet, unsure of a response. Truthfully, he really did want to just give Katara the ships, and to hell if he was accused of favouritism. But he took Katara's point. Should be the Earth Kingdom, Katara said, frustration seeping back into her voice. They have the ships, and Chewie knows they have an abundance of experts on just about everything. This trade route will support their poorest citizens, those starting out on their own ventures, or even those who would like a chance to explore and see what adventure could bring. I can't bear to think that those people are being denied that chance because of some childish refusal to help. Lang reports directly to the palace in Ba Sing Se, Zuko said, and he definitely strikes me as an upper ring sort of character.
Zing.
Katara huffed in dry amusement. Tell me about it. The conversation lulled. Well, since we're here, would you like to spar? Broached Zuko. She smiled widely. I'm flattered, Fire Lord. Don't you have another meeting to attend to? He smiled widely, spreading his arms as he walked to the position in the arena. Surprisingly not. Besides, I recognise the need for a cathartic spar probably better than anyone else. He dropped into a stance. And I'm the only one around here that offers any real competition for you, he winked.
Ooh.
Katara grinned at his challenge. Oh, you think? She asked, walking slowly to occupy a space on the opposite side of the arena from him. An idea occurred to her as she recalled a memory from their previous meeting. Kinrook was a pretty good opponent last time he came to visit, she said nonchalantly.
Ooh, you bitch!
Zuko's eyes flared and his jaw tensed as he clenched his fists even tighter. Katara bit the inside of her lip as she felt a thrill shoot through her at his visible reaction. So he had been jealous of her touching Kinrook's arm. She unconsciously raised her eyebrows at the discovery and Zuko felt an embarrassed flush through him. And she noticed his reaction. Why was he reacting anyway? She gathered water about her arms and stared him down. He caught the slight movement of her arm before she'd even moved the water and jumped as a water whip went straight for his legs. He quickly retaliated with a wide horizontal arc of fire as he landed. Katara gathered her water around her to protect herself, spinning before planting her feet firmly and casting the water towards Zuko's side. He jumped backwards and aimed a blast directly towards Katara as she pulled the water back along its circular route through the air. She ducked, sending a wave of water across the floor arena, freezing it upon contact with Zuko. He bent forwards, breathing deeply to melt the ice around his feet, with a breath of fire before falling forward into a roll and coming back up to his feet in one smooth motion. He was just in time to jump to the side to avoid a whip of water. Zuko raised an eyebrow at the almost lethal attack. No holding back, I guess, he said. I thought you said you were going to offer some real competition, she called teasingly. Zuko's ego flared. Well, you asked for it. With a roar, he somersaulted forward, sending a powerful lance of fire towards Katara as he landed. She grinned, eyes lighting up at his ferocity as he forced her to run to his side to get a new angle on him. Sparring with Zuko was so much more fun when he didn't hold back. Katara stood still, panting, holding the ball of water above their heads with her outstretched hand held firmly in Zuko's grip. Her eyes were wide as she resisted the urge to flinch at the fire burning near her windpipe. Zuko had quite clearly won. She could hear his harsh panting against her ears as he held her locked in that position. He held her firmly in his grip, stunned. He could feel a heat coursing through his veins that had nothing to do with the physical exertion and everything to do with Katara's body pressed against his and completely at his mercy.
Oh.
She could feel his hard chest against her back and felt a thrill of shock through her at how exposed she felt where he held her arm above them. Her heart raced as she felt the heat emanating from him. The flame disappeared from his finger and his hand lightly dropped to her collarbone. Her chest heaved and Zuko inwardly groaned at the sight as he looked down at her. He gently caressed her neck where he had his hand still sat, and Katara's head lolled back at the central touch. His hand fell slightly below her collarbone and she pressed backwards into him. He relished the feel of her soft body pressed up against his and his hand slowly skated across her collarbone before the backs of his fingers skimmed down her side, just grazing below the curve of her breast. Katara's breath hitched and suddenly they were drenched in cold water as her control of the ball above her head burst.
Katara!
Dude, that was literally just getting so interesting. Okay, fine. They both gasped loudly as the freezing water hit, breaking the moment. Zuko quickly stepped back from her, shoulders tensed up a bit at the unexpected soaking. He looked at her through his sopping fringe to see a familiar, flustered and sputtering Katara. As cerulean eyes met his and he noticed the lingering lust in their depths, Katara was taken back slightly by the molten gaze that still resided in Zuko's eyes. She opened and shut her mouth a few times before hastily gathering her tunic from the side of the arena. She turned to him and stammered, Thank you for the spar, and that wasn't needed. The spar was needed. I better go. With that, she left the training grounds. Zuko, still stunned from what happened, watched her go. He belatedly realised that Katara had neglected to bend the water off his body and her own, as was habitual when he received a thorough drenching at the hands of her waterbending. He still felt the adrenaline pumping through his body, and the electric intensity of having been pressed up against her. He'd never felt like that before. End of chapter!
Ooh, okay. So listen, we're starting to get somewhere.
Yeah.
They're not just being, I mean, they are super cute, but they're not just being super cute.
It took a while to get there.
It did. But hey, you know, slow, well, it's not really that slow burn, really. It's quite, you know, started, we've read books where the slow burn is like, it takes them 100 chapters to get somewhere.
Oh God, like before.
So we can't really complain, about this, can we?
It's true. How many water balls out of 10 would you give it?
Oh God. a 6, I think. Like, I like the bit of jealousy that started, you know, well, like, I'm not encouraging jealousy, but in terms of like a plot device, I liked it.
It's nice in books, not in real life.
Yeah, cool. The sparring was good. I'm just kind of, I am curious as to, is there like an overarching plot, or is it this trade routes? I don't care that much about the trade routes, obviously, because I care more about Zutara, but so I am interested to see where it's going to go. But obviously I always enjoy reading about Zutara, and I like their like cute relationship and how it's developing. I'm not too sure. I mean, what about you?
I'd give it a 5.
Yeah.
I mean, people won't hear all my stuttering, but I struggled a bit with reading that. it's difficult because, yeah, like JoJo says, the trade chat, the technical chat, I'm not sure that we necessarily need to be privy to it.
That's something that if we were reading, we would skim.
Yes, exactly. And it's one of those things where, like, I think parts would be useful, but probably not the depth that there is here.
Yeah.
Of, like, the technical bits and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
I am glad that Uncle Iroh came. Woohoo.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, the jealousy thing, I feel like she could have done a little more with it.
Oh, yeah, come on, girl. You know how to play that.
But also, this is her first long-form fic, so that's fair enough.
Yes, true.
Yeah, the sparring too. It's really difficult because JoJo and I kind of were discussing this a little earlier, but it's easier to read action like just privately, whereas I think listening to descriptive action can be not as exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a lot of like water whip, fire arc, ice freezing, like can, I guess, like, I don't think it comes across the best when I'm speaking it. But that little last bit, I'm kind of seeing where this could go.
Yeah,
maybe,
me too.
Maybe soon I'll get wrecked. Or not wrecked.
Oh my
Sorry,
God.
Oh my God. What the fuck? I need to stop.
And on that bombshell, it's been a funny episode. I think we've both been a bit tired, so...
Sorry, guys.
No, don't be sorry. This is just the way that's life. That's life. But we hope you guys enjoyed anyway. Sorry if it feels a bit all over the place.
Yeah, truly.
I've definitely not helped. I'm really tired.
I am also not on form. I will say that we will only carry on reading if it feels like it's going to pick up.
Yeah, we will. We're not going to carry on doing this if we don't like it. Like,
yeah, sorry. It's a hard one because you obviously, like, we don't want to read the books before we read them on the podcast.
Yeah.
So then it's, like, a lot of feeling this stuff out. But obviously you don't want to read stuff with, like, the most kudos because everyone will have read those already.
Exactly.
So...
Yes, I agree with you. No, we can't just read all the good ones because, yeah, like you said, people have read them before.
And will have read them, most likely.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's how you do it, right? You just pull up the page and read the most rated.
Of course, they are the best ones. So we'll only do this like for as long as we enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy that. Like, I do just love, I love the simplicity of Zutara. That's one of my favorite things about them. It's simple.
Yeah.
So I am enjoying that that part of it.
It's but, yeah. True.
So, you know, who knows where we'll be next week? Maybe we'll be back to, you know, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Is it For Whom? Or is it The When?
No, that's the book. That's the actual
book. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm it's the when. Well, I'm just too educated. What can I say?
It's so true.
Maybe we'll be back for When the Bell Tolls.
I actually wouldn't mind that. Yeah. Truthfully. I'm like, because that was also getting interesting.
Yeah, I do kind of like bouncing about the fanfics a bit. I hope it's you guys true. Don't mind.
Yeah, they're just very beefy, as you can tell. And, like, this one's definitely a little quicker to read, despite all my stuttering.
Oh, it's not that bad.
She says that. She's going to want to kill me after she does the editing. But yeah, Drake... Oh, to remind me, I wonder if there's probably Avatar and... Harry Potter crossovers, which actually would be maybe interesting.
That would be really weird.
Yeah,
they're very different worlds, even though the characters are. Have quite a lot of similarities.
Could you imagine what kind of bender do you think that Hermione would be? All of the Harry Potter characters, actually.
That is a really good question. I think Hermione would probably be water, and I'm not just saying that because of the link to Katara. But I think she's definitely that soothing but powerful force, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Ron?
Earth?
Earth, maybe. Yeah. Because he's quite stubborn, isn't he? Like Earth itself. God. Harry, I don't know, actually.
See, half of me is like, oh, maybe air, just because he's the chosen one and la-di-da. But then, like, that aside, I think that as a bender, he might be fire.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then Draco, that's tough.
Fire, surely.
Probably fire, yeah, probably fire. It makes sense, but I think...
If not fire,
I can't imagine anyone as air.
Oh, you're not wrong. Who would be air? Maybe like Dumbledore.
Yeah, like guiding.
Yeah,
because that kind of goes well with the airbenders as well, because they're quite like philosophical.
Or McGonagall, or like more professors. I think professors would be air.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree.
Maybe. Man, that's actually a difficult one.
Maybe this is the next fanfic we should be writing. Crossover, that'd be so hard.
It would be so hard, but also, like, what would Voldemort be, and how would that work with the mudbloods and the squids?
He would
and,
be
like...
a non-bender, right? Hear me out. He'd be a non-bender who's mad at everyone for being benders.
Oh, you're not wrong. But then, how would that like? Would he just have an army of non-benders?
Yes, I haven't thought that far. Or maybe he's air. Oh, I don't know.
Or he'd be like the son of firebenders, but then he never managed to bend fire. And he'd be like consul to the Fire Lord, and then he'd basically just be low-key puppeteering, and that's why he'd be like Fire Nation for the win. And then right at the beginning of The Last Airbender, you know, the princess of the Northern Water tribe.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe, but instead of like sacrificing herself for the moon, he'd like steal her power, like he'd slowly steal powers or something.
Oh, damn.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the only way that would work.
Yeah, yeah.
But
there's something in this. Hey, listen, if anyone wants to write this, I forfeit my rights to it.
Me too. I'm so sorry. My like brain is so scrambled today. I don't know if you can tell.
Right. Well, with that, I think we should end it for today. So we hope everyone's enjoyed. And see you next week for God knows what.
Yeah.
Whatever we feel like. It will definitely be a fanfic.
Yeah, a fanfic by someone.
Yeah, someone who has existed at some point.
Yeah, see, narrowing it down for you.
You're welcome.
Congratulations.
All right, thanks guys.
Yeah, have a good week guys. This has been your two afflicted fans who are slightly scrambled from the week, and we'll be back next week with other afflictions, or the same affliction, or a new affliction. You just don't know. Neither do we.
I can't wait.
But thanks very much for listening, we appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, bye.